I'm really great to be. I'm so excited. I mean, we're family now. I've been to Penang so many times, and it's really good to be here. And I hope you are excited, ignited, and delighted to be here. Are you? That's only four of you. I'm South African, and I love people to say amen, hallelujah. You know, when I speak in a South African church, they do all the talking, and I say a few words. And so I'm excited. And so I want to minister this morning on how to live healthy and free. Now, as soon as you hear the word healthy, you immediately go to chicken rice. And you think I'm going to talk about food. I'm not talking about food. I want to talk how you can live spiritually healthy in your mind, your emotions, and the health of your heart. Because when you're healthy in those areas, you can walk in freedom. Are you with me? And I've only got 3 points that I want to share today. Only three. How many points does Pastor John normally have? 33. Okay. All right. Most preachers have three. The preachers who don't know how to preach have five. And those who just want to talk, we have 12. Okay. 3 points. I want you to remember three. And I'm going to ask you, and at the end of the service, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to ask you to tell me those 3 points. Are you with me? Because my heart is, I'll never minister on a passage of scripture that I do not live. If I don't have revelation and I don't live it myself, I will never minister on it. Because then it's just theory. And I want to speak from a position of experiencing health and freedom in areas of my life. And so that's what I'm going to speak on. So because we're in church, we got to go to the Bible. Because the Bible is the source of truth and revelation that we can then walk in freedom. So we're going to go to the book of Thessalonians. Now, just a short history of this book. We always need to read scripture in context. And what was happening in the church in Thessalonica is that they were having challenges. You know, people got saved, but then they were questioning their salvation. There were things happening around, and people were having a tough time. And is it worth this Christianity thing? And some people wanted to give up, and they said, well, when is Jesus coming back? And the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church to encourage them to keep pushing through and moving on, and that Jesus is coming back. How many of you know Jesus is coming back? Do you know when he's coming back? Well, a lot of people say because of the virus, he's coming back soon. You know, or if there's an earthquake, oh, Jesus is coming back. Friends, let me tell you somebody, nobody knows when he's coming back. Is he coming back? Absolutely. When? I have no idea. Can it be today? Yes. Can it be in 1,000 years' time? Yes. And so as soon as people prophesy, oh, doom and gloom and oh, Jesus. So just keep living for Jesus every day. Amen. So, yes, 3 verses that I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 16, and I'm going to read from the ESV. How many of you know what the ESV stands for? So some of you going, are you speaking in tongues? Okay, it's the English Standard Version. All right, here we go. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. This is what it says. Rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Now, the word for you means for you. Okay? So, how many of you want to know the will of Christ for your life? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, I think about 5 of you want to know. All right? Anybody want to know the will of God this side? Yeah. Okay, are you guys happy? Okay, are you guys? All right, so here we go. I want to speak on 3 points this morning. And this is the first one, how to live healthy and free, is rejoice always. Now, the word rejoice is the Greek word chario, to show great joy or delight and to be incredibly happy. I mean, one of the verses that we often quote is, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so no matter what situation you face, God can give you inner joy that you can stand and withstand anything that comes your way. And here it says, rejoice always. Now, the word always means always. It means always. You can't be selective. Paul is saying to the church, don't be selective when you rejoice and when you don't rejoice. You can't pick and choose. All right, when I get a promotion, I can rejoice always. That's easy to rejoice. How many of you know that? How many of you have ever had a promotion? Two of you. All right. You know, please respond by putting up your hand. This is part of your gym class this morning. So when I ask you, raise your hand because you don't have to go to gym. All right, just right hand and then left hand. Okay, how many of you got promotion? Only five of you? What's happening to the economy in Penang? Okay, so it's rejoice always. But now, friends, what do we do when you're sick? When you got pneumonia? When you got a broken leg? What do you do when there's strife in your marriage, where your wife and I don't see eye to eye, and that's not because you're blind? Because you see things differently. What do you do when there's strife in your marriage? What happens when you are depressed? This is one of the major problems in the world today, is depression. And people can slip into depression very quickly. I know, I've been there, I've done it, I've got the t-shirt. I've been depressed. I've been suicidal. But how do we rejoice always when you are in that state of mind? What about if you're in financial challenges? Do you know this coronavirus, whatever it's called? Whenever I think of corona, I think of beer. The corona beer. But that, I'm just going to say this virus. Do you know, it's going to impact the world financially. I mean, I've had my flights changed twice on this last trip. Flights have just been canceled and rescheduled. And it's really impacted the work that I wanted to do on this trip. What about people that are heartbroken? How many of you have been heartbroken? Okay, don't put up. Okay. I see a lot of girls doing this. You know, heartbroken. You know, you get this guy in your life and he says, I love you so much. Man. I love you to the moon and back. And he says all these right things. And next minute he sends you a WhatsApp message. I don't love you anymore. He doesn't have the brain to come to you and talk to you. And he hides behind a WhatsApp. And then you wonder what's happened. What do you do? What do you do when your boss put there's an envelope in your desk and it's not an increase, but it's a decrease? Where it says, we can't afford you anymore. So you either have to leave the company or we reduce your hours by 20. I mean, you know, we live in a real world. Friends, let me tell you, this is real stuff I'm talking about. In all my life as a believer, and I gave my life to Christ September 1979 as a university student. A lot of you were not born, but Jesus knew about you. That was a joke, by the way. But one thing I've learned is that we're either entering a storm, we're in a storm, or we're leaving a storm. We're either in a challenge, facing a challenge, or God's answered a prayer. Very few times I'm just in peaceful waters. But friends, let me tell you something. None of us grow in the comforts of life. We do not grow. You know, if you've got a child and you've got a toddler, you know, part of growing up is that the little toddler's got to fall. No baby gets up and walks like me. Not at all. I mean, they fall, and I mean, our little grandkids, and you know, got a cut on the face here, and they kick their toe, and I mean, so many things have happened, but it's all part of their development to who they are today. And so challenges that you and I face, friends, is for your growth and for you to grow up. So turn to the next person next to you and say it with love. You have to grow up. Now, some of you are not doing it, but you're scared of the virus. Let's just do it in front of your mouth. Grow up. Okay, are you with me?
Yes.
All right. What if you lost your dog? I mean, you know, some people are so attached to their dog that their dog looks like them. Go on Google and you write down, dogs look like owners, and see what you come up with. I mean, you find women with these golden hair, and their dog is a spaniel with the long golden hair. I mean, it's just amazing. But it's kind of like the little dog becomes so close, and when people lose the animal, you know, the whole world is shattered. How can I rejoice always? I'm so glad you asked me. Because Paul writes to the church in Philippians, and this is what he says. He also says, rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. But I've left out some words on purpose, because this is the key to rejoice always. And the key is rejoice in the Lord always. You see, friends, this is the key to your emotional health, is that you can choose to rejoice always, no matter what is happening in your life at that moment. So how do you rejoice in the Lord always? You see, my joy, because joy comes from God, my strength comes from God, that I can keep walking because my eyes are fixed on God, because it's Jesus, it's God, it's His power, it's His presence that's going to see me through to my victory. Can you see your victory as you are encountering a challenge today? So if you're encountering financial problems, can you see the victory on the other side? Because if you can't see it, how are you going to rejoice? Because the victory and the promise is on the other side. Kelvin, can you just come help me here, please? Thank you. Can you come? Isn't he a handsome guy? Come on, man. You see, why don't you go and stand? Oh, no, you stand right here. Ella Reese, can you come and help? This is a great couple, this, huh? Ella, why don't you go and stand there? Because Kelvin is my problem. He's the challenge, be it a health issue, be it financial issue, be it direction issue. And so all I'm seeing is this situation and this circumstance. But your problem with a lot of people, if I can't see above Kelvin to my victory, which is Ella Reese, and my deliverance, and what that's where I'm going, is that this will, I'll only be stuck at this level. But when I can cast my eyes on Jesus, know His promises and His word, and His word shows me the victory, I can then keep rejoicing. Thank you, Jesus, my hope. I can walk past my situation, my hope, my promises, and I can experience my victory. Are you with me? Give these guys a great round of applause. So what's the key? In the Lord. In the Lord. No matter what you face, you can rejoice in the Lord. You see, Romans 12 verse 2 says, rejoice in hope. What is your hope? Your hope is in the finished work of Christ on the cross. You know Jesus. Our hope is our daddy, and His hand is over us. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that our Papa God loves you? That He thinks you are absolutely amazing? That no, then we, if we know that, that's our position, that no matter what we face in life, our hope is in our dad. My God, my Father loves me so much that I can cope with whatever comes my way. I know I have the hope, and I've got the confidence that my God is able. It's a phrase that I quote every morning when I wake up. My God is able. But there's more to that verse. My God is able to do exceedingly, help me, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that's within us. And friends, when you know your Father wants the best for you, that you can then rejoice always. Do you know that I want the best for my children? I don't want the worst for my children. God doesn't look at you and say, I'm going to make you suffer. I'm going to make your life miserable. God's not like that. He's a loving Father. I'm a father. I love my kids so much. When they come into my home, they can enjoy anything in my home. My sons and the grandkids now open the fridge door. They know where the sweets are. They know where the chips are. And my son can come in and enjoy everything in the fridge. Just not my credit card. But he comes. My son of 30, he comes and lies on the bed with us and talks. And he goes and lies in the middle. He's a big boy. And then I have to land on the edge. But I'm a father. I love him. We got to know, friends, God loves you. He wants the best for you. That's why I can rejoice no matter what comes my way. You see, friends, we never rejoice in our circumstance. Because circumstances always change. I mean, the circumstances can change in a moment. You can leave here today and you can say, hallelujah, oh, this is amazing. Pastor Bernard, he's so funny. I like him, man. He looks amazing. I can't believe he's 62. And you can say all those nice things and you can walk there outside and you can kick your foot on the door and your language changes immediately. You see, I approach challenges very differently today. I think for far too long, we blame the devils for certain things. Sometimes it's our choices and decisions that lead us to challenge, to problems. So when I face a problem today, I call it a challenge. And I always ask myself the question, Father God, what are you trying to show me? Anything I have to change? Is there anything I've got to get rid of? Is it a mindset that I have to change? Do I have to change certain behaviors? Because if I kick my foot on the door, maybe he wants me to go have my eyes tested. Because I can't see. God's at work in our lives all the time. And so friends, the most important thing to remember here is that we rejoice in the Lord. That is key to you. You see, friends, in life, I come across far too many people in life like these two Coke cans. If you focus on your internal and you develop your internal emotionally, spiritually, mentally, you can cope with whatever comes your way. If you do not focus on your internal, the small little things that come your way can crush you. That's why people are depressed today, because they're not strong internally. And they allow little things to become mountains in their lives because they're not strong internally. I want to encourage you in this season. There's so much happening in the world today. I mean, Christchurch had a volcano explosion. Killed 13 people, I think. Australia had massive bushfires. You know, there were drones that killed so many people. I know South Africa's got its problems, and I've just been ministering there. One of their problems is called load shedding, where you don't have power. But there's a crime that happens. You know, you guys, I believe, and I heard the other day, is that there was a change of government. I mean, there's so many things, this virus, there's so many things that come. And if you're not strong internally, these little things become mountains in your life. When life is going well, it's easy to rejoice always. What to do when circumstances are not favorable or challenging. I want to share a testimony. Are you ready for a testimony? Are you all right? Tap the person next to you. It's time for wake up now. All right. This is a testimony time. You know, as Pastor John mentioned, and our church celebrates 20 years now, April. When we went over from South Africa to New Zealand, we lived by faith. We had no ministry partners. We lived by faith the old-fashioned way. God, you've called, you're going to provide. 13 years ago, we bought a building, and that was another financial miracle that happened then, where God provided miraculously the funds for the deposit. And then, how many of you remember the Christchurch earthquake? All right, two of you. I think it's important to know what's happening in the world. We had an earthquake. 181 people lost their lives, and the insurance company paid out the church a sum of money. We used it to pay off our mortgage, so the church today is debt-free. Sometimes through tragic events, something good comes. So we've been blessed with a mortgage-free facility. But we bought an old building, and it's in need of major repair. Half the roof needs to be removed. We're replacing every window. We're just opening it up. And so the building renovation is going to cost us 2.2 million New Zealand dollars. That's about 5.5 million Malaysian ringgits. How many of you know that's a lot of money? How many of you got it in the bank? Okay, don't put up your hand. Because if you put up your hand, I'm coming to see you. Well, actually, Pastor John will come see you. How many of you know that's a lot of money? But you know, I shared this vision with the church. Some got excited, ignited, and delighted. But you will always find people in your church that have cold water to throw in your vision. It's too much money. We'll never raise that money. What about the starving people in Africa? What about this situation? You know, what about the tsunami in Samoa? What about, and it was almost like, and I had to hold on to the vision. I had to hold on to my hope. I had to, my wife and I, we had to strengthen our faith. We had to hold on to the promises. I confessed God's word every day. My God is able. My God is able. My God is able. I had to worship God. I had to take the focus off the voices and onto God. Because I know God has called us for a time like this. I never doubted one word in one moment that God was not going to provide. You know, if it took me 30 years, I would have kept saying the same thing. God's going to provide. God's going to provide. I want to encourage you. If you got a vision from God, never give up, friends. Look at me. Never give up on your vision. Don't listen to people who pour cold water on your vision. But you know what? Because they're jealous. I know. So that's what the building is going to look like when it's done. That's the architect's impression of our facility. It'll seat 450 people. Isn't that amazing? You know, I met a man 18 years ago. I journeyed with him. He wasn't part of our church. His wife would come. He didn't believe in the church. In 2010, I water baptized him. I'm just telling a quick story, a long story short. And I would meet with him. Since he retired, and prior to him retiring, I would see him every 6 weeks, go to his office, a corporate office. And since he retired, I would give him an afternoon a month. We called it together AWR, Afternoon with Ray. Ray is his name. And so I've been doing that since about 2010. Once a month, take him to lunch. He paid, of course, because he had a nice credit card, and we would have amazing time. And so 2 years ago, we launched the campaign to raise funds for the building. We had, up until then, about 200,000 New Zealand dollars in the bank. What's that in ringgit? Times, say, $500,000. $500,000 Malaysian ringgit in the bank. End of November, he met with me at one of these AWR, and this is what he said to me. He said, Pastor Bernard, you and your wife have sacrificed to come to my nation, and you've made a difference in my family's life. You've made a difference in this church, the city, and this nation. You and your wife carry the vision for the next generation for this facility. I have the capacity to make your vision become a reality. And he said, I'm giving you $2 million. Given me 5.5 Malaysian ringgit. Million. Million. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I said, is this 1st of April? Friends, on the 15th of December, I shared the news with my church family, and we had a celebration, and there he sits in the crowd. This 80-year-old, he was 79 then, he witnessed the faces of people because of his kindness and generosity. End of January, he turned 80, and we had a birthday. Well, he organized a birthday celebration, and he always got me to speak. And I spoke on him leaving a legacy, that what his generosity is going to impact generations to come. 10 days later, he had a massive stroke and passed away. I was in South Africa at the time, and he said to me, if anything happens to me, no matter where you are in the world, you have to come back. You've got to come and conduct my funeral. He was like a father to me. He was a grandfather to my children and a great-grandfather to my grandchildren. He was an incredible man. Friends, I want to say to you, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Sometimes you just need to love one man or one woman, and God can use that one person. You know, as my wife and I have been praying over the years as we trusted God, I said to my wife two things. I sensed the Holy Spirit saying to me, number one, God's going to, there's one person that's going to bless us with a large amount of money. I told her that 2 years ago. And how many of you know larger money can be $1,000? Is that large for you? It's a large amount of money. I never in my wildest dreams thought of $2 million. And secondly, the Lord told me 2 years ago that we're going to do this building debt free. And that when I retire and I hand over this church to the next generation, I'm going to hand over a church that'll be totally debt free and that they can focus on the next generation. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering. You see, we don't rejoice in our circumstances. We rejoice in the Lord through our circumstances. All right, number two. These next two are very quick. Number two, pray without ceasing. Friends, I really want to encourage you. Praying without ceasing doesn't mean that you got to pray 24 hours a day, that you can't sleep and you can't eat because I'm praying. But you live a lifestyle of prayer. When you're driving in your car, you can pray. If you're the driver, just don't close your eyes, because you might see Jesus before me. But you pray when you're walking and God drops a name in your spirit, you pray for that person. It's called a lifestyle of prayer. And yes, of course, we have times where we have corporate prayer. There's praise of worship prayer. I mean, there's so many different prayer of consecration. There's so many aspects to prayer. But the key thing here is that we need to be people of prayer. And I really believe that this key is your heart health. When you can connect with the Father's heart and it does your heart well, you can keep your heart healthy. And prayer is so important to life. One of my favorite verses is Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What are you hoping for? Your hope is your dream. We should all have hope. That's why, friends, with this virus thing, I don't want to make light of it. It is serious. But I'm not going to allow that to instill fear in my life that I cannot do what God's called me to do. I pray. I'm under the blood of Jesus. I wash my hands. I do all the health stuff. I'm taking vitamins. You know, my one son said to me, Dad, are you sure you want to go? I said, absolutely. Because if I live in fear, then I'm going to go and lock myself in my bedroom. And I'm not prepared to do that. Of course, I'll be wise. Will I be visiting China soon? The answer is no. But will I come to Malaysia? Absolutely. But I'm not going to live my life in fear. And so what is your hope, friends? Hold on to your hope. Hold on to your hope. Beautiful picture that I love is of somebody trying to row. If you only have hope and no faith, you're just going to go around in circles. If you only have faith and no hope, you're only going to go around in circles. But when you combine the two of hope and faith and you use them together, you'll have momentum in your life. You'll be able to go forward in life. So just don't have a nice imaginary dream and think, oh, that's my hope. No, is it a God-given calling and passion of yours? Because then you put faith to it, which comes from God's word, and then you start rowing into your destiny. Is it easy? No. Because often our minds get in the way of our heart. But friends, I tell you, if you put it into practice, watch. You know, with that financial bridge, I tell you, I've got so many financial stories to tell about miracles, miracles of finances. And I'm going to pray for you at the end of the service for financial miracles. All right, I think I've got a few minutes. I won't read that verse. Okay, last point. Give thanks in some circumstances. Now, are there Filipinos here? The word all is the word lahat. Okay, lahat. And so we give thanks in all circumstances. You know, sometimes some circumstances we can't give thanks in. But the Bible commands us. It says, if you want to know the will of God, give thanks. When last have you given thanks that you have clothes on your body? You know, there's some people that do not have clothes. There's some people that do not have food. And at least, if I know Malaysians, you don't just eat once a day. You eat all day. I think Pastor John mentioned you can go to this place at 3 a.m. I mean, you can wake up and say, man, I'm hungry. And you can go to a place and you can get food. If you got money in your bank account, let me tell you something. You're part of the wealthy 90% in the world. We give thanks in everything. When last have you thanked God for your health? When last have you thanked God for your mom or your dad, even though they are sometimes a pain in the right eyeball? When last have you given thanks? And here the Apostle Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. When it's tough, give thanks because he wants to grow you. When you receive blessing, you give thanks. And it's very important for you to give thanks. And I really believe that's the key to mental health. Mental health. Start giving thanks. I want to thank Pastor John for giving me an opportunity to share God's word with you. I never take an invitation. I mean, I had to pay him $500 for me to preach here today. And I'm only joking. Some of you, oh my goodness, sure. But you know, I want to give thanks. Thank you for the opportunity that I can share what I carry in the spirit with you. Because I'm going to release it on you today. Okay? You know, Jesus gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks. And he knew he was going to go to the cross. But he knew on the third day something was going to happen. You know, friends, in life, what's very important that we need to look at our current situation. What's happening in your life today? You see, do you know your daddy, God? Do you know his promises? Do you know his word? Have you experienced his grace and mercy? Because when you know that, you can see your future. You can see the joy. You can see the victory. And what happens is that when you see that, you are able to then claim his promises, his grace, and his mercy for your life, that you are able to walk in victory. I can get the band up, Kelvin. Thank you. You see, friends, it says, this is the will of God for your life. And so, friends, let me summarize. And I don't want you to look at your notes. I want you to look at me. How can we live healthy and free? What is the first one? Now, some of you are going, no idea what you're saying. Okay, let's read it together. Number two. Number three. Friends, if you want to live a healthy, free life, when I say free, I'm not saying you won't have challenges, but God will give you what you need to see you through. When you know what God has for you, that victory does come and you can walk in freedom. You see, friends, challenges are part of life. I mean, let's be real with one another. I said in the first service, number one, life's not fair. That's for free. So turn to the person next to you and say, life's not fair. And number two, challenges are part of life. Challenges are part of life. But if you do it God's way and you embrace, rejoice in the Lord always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. I challenge you to put this into practice. And Pastor John, I'm praying that there are going to be testimonies coming from this house. When you put this into practice, I want you to testify. Go to your life group leaders, testify. Come to Pastor John and the team. Share your testimony, because let me tell you something, it works. Just do it. That's the Nike advert. Sorry, I'm not advertising Nike. Forget it. Just the slogan, just do it. All right, I want to pray for you. Why don't you stand? Hallelujah. I'm going to just pray for two groups of people here this morning. Two groups, or afternoon now. Two groups. I want you to bow your head. I want you to close your eyes. And the reason why I ask you to close your eyes, I want you to focus on you. You are the most important person in God's sight today. He loves you. He's your daddy. He wants the best for you. And there might be one or two people. I don't know you. I know some of you. And maybe you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or maybe you once did, but your walk with God has grown cold. I'm going to extend an invitation for you to invite Jesus into your life. I did this as a university student, 1979. And I want to extend that free gift to you this afternoon. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Just raise your hand high so I can see. I see one hand, two hands. Anybody else? Three. A couple of hands being raised. Anybody else? I'm not going to promise. One at the back. Four. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's five. I'm going to ask one more time. Six. Seven. Can I ask those people who've raised their hands, can you run forward? If you've got a walking stick, then you can't. But can you come quickly forward? Come, bro. Just come forward here. Come stand here. Right here. You just look at me. Well done. Well done. Now, some people now are very shy and embarrassed. It's okay. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you so much. Really want to encourage you. Come forward. Come forward. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is a precious moment. For me, this is the most important moment when people make right with God, because it's your life and it's your future. And so I'm going to ask you to pray with me, and I'm going to ask the entire church to pray with me just a prayer of repentance. And I want you to speak it out aloud, okay? Speak it out aloud. I want you to say the following. Dear Lord Jesus, I come before you in your mighty name. I repent, Lord God, of my sins, of my past. I invite you now to come into my life as my Savior and as my Lord. Make me a brand new creation. by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, won't you give them a great round of applause? Won't you just stand here for a moment? I just want to just one more prayer and then I'm going to hand over to Pastor John. You know, I shared the message about our miracle. And I want to release that miracle that I carry on you. And so if you need a miracle, financial, specifically financial, if you need a miracle, if you're a business owner, if you need a miracle, a financial miracle in your business, I want you to raise your hand. If you are trusting God for your own house, your own apartment, if you're trusting God for a job, you're trusting God for promotion, if you're trusting a guy with lots of money so you can marry, I mean, whatever it is, but it must be financially related, because I want to release what I carry of miracles on your life. So raise your hands, please. Man, you know what? If I was you, if your hand's not raised, I'd raise it. I don't want you to miss out on a blessing. I don't want you to miss out on a miracle. I don't want you to miss out on what God has for you. And so, Father God, I pray, Lord, for every single person. You know their need. And so, Lord, I pray what I carry in my spirit and what I've experienced in finances, miracles over 20 years at Every Nation Christchurch, the way you've blessed us in ways that just blows our minds. And Lord, the way you've blessed us with the finances for our facility. Lord, I pray that as I release this miracle on people here this morning, I pray for their miracle of finances. Lord, I pray for our businessmen and businesswomen. I pray for miracles. I pray for new contracts. I pray for new clients. I pray, Father, that they would be so blessed that they would be able to be a channel of blessing. I pray for people who are trusting God for jobs. I pray for those who are trusting God for increase or promotion. I pray for those who are trusting for their own home or money to buy land, to buy an apartment or whatever in the area of finances, Lord. I release that now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to receive that by faith. And trust God for your miracle in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise offering.